Happy Tuesday, Tappers. Let's get it. It is May 8th. How we living? Charlie here with you as always. We're here to bring you another edition of the Daily Tap. We'll be talking about a potential Manny Machado to the Milwaukee Brewers trade. I can feel that in my plumps. That felt great to say. We'll talk about also the our Bucks coaching search. We got some light from Woj yesterday on who they may be looking at and why we have to be careful with certain Packer narratives that are starting to develop about the current rookie class. Yes, it's May, and there are narratives already developing because we live in a crazed society. Okay, you know where to find us. SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Do it. Follow all those. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I feel like we should have a contest about who already follows, and then to get more follows, how do we do that? We'll see if that ever matriculates. You know, I always have ideas. They're always there, but you got to act on those ideas sometimes. And then subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all the things. If you didn't listen to yesterday's podcast about whether the Brewers may be good, a little TV talk, go back and listen to that. Tapping the Keg this week will be taped on Wednesday, and we will have it up for you on Thursday. So looking forward to that, and I'll be doing my first phone podcast for Friday's show as I will be out of town and away from my quote-unquote studio, which is always a good thing. Okay, so let's jump right in. No wasted time as we are short on it. So Manny Machado is probably the biggest trade piece of the MLB season already, and we're already talking trades first week into the month of May. I mean, the deadline is not till the end of July, but what time is now? The Orioles are already 17 games back of first place. They do not have double-digit wins yet. They are on pace for over 100 losses. It's clear that they are going to have a fire sale. As the great Tobias Funke once said, yes, that is going to happen for the Orioles. So Chris Davis probably on the move. Adam Jones probably on the move. Buck Showalter probably fired. And most importantly, Manny Machado probably dealt. Now, the Orioles are big old idiots for not trying to deal Machado in the offseason. Rumors were they tried, and then he told a lot of teams, like, through back channels, LOL, I'm just going to be a Yankee anyway, so don't even try. Now, we saw it in basketball that, you know, a team like Oklahoma City took a chance with Paul George, even though Paul George kind of did the same thing, except it was with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think baseball values their prospects a little bit more, and it's a little different sport in terms of when you make a significant trade for a top-tier talent, you have to give up top-tier prospects, and no team was willing to do that. I think the White Sox were actually the team that was deeply in the running for Machado. So Dave Schoenfield wrote a list of all these different teams that could be interested in a high-priced rental, knowing that he's a free agent and could walk at the end of this year, and the Milwaukee Brewers was mentioned. So this is very interesting, and I feel like if the Brewers are going to make a move on Machado, it has to be in middle of June, early June, to get the most out of him, because if they're going to make a deal for a rental, to get him at the end of July makes no sense. You at least get as much as you can out of him and hope that maybe he likes what he sees in Milwaukee and he'd want to stay with the team. And now Machado would command a huge contract, and he's going to get paid handsomely. And so, yes, the juice is worth the squeeze, if you will, especially when you look at Schoenfield's column and he has people mention like the upstart Braves who could be competing with the Brewers for a wild card, the New York Mets, the same thing. Los Angeles Dodgers right now look more like a wild card team than they do a division contender as Clayton Kershaw goes on the DL. So they are a whole host of mess there. And then the big two that really stand out that are like, oh, good, is the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, it would be funny to watch Machado on the Cardinals because he definitely has a little attitude and swagger to him. And it would, to the whole playing the game the right way, would be very humorous. But that would be the only humorous thing about it. Other than that, it would haunt my nightmares for at least 2 weeks. So the Brewers, to make it happen, would probably have to deal Orlando Arcia. I've come to terms with that. That's okay. Orlando Arcia is 22. I think he's a decent hitter, but he hasn't shown, and the on-base percentage isn't there. Mauricio Dubon is showing just as much at the same age. He might not be the defensive shortstop that Arcia is, but Dubon could definitely add an element to this team if Machado were to leave and they were able to trade Arcia. Now, they could easily trade Dubon and let Arcia continue to be a backup to Machado, but I don't know how Arcia would respond to that, and I don't know if you could play Machado at second base. I don't think that is a possibility. And you'd have to probably look at one of the Brewers' pitchers. I mean, in AAA, they have a loaded AAA system. People forget that the Brewers are kind of in a great spot with starting pitching. And I know that you'd be like, well, I mean, look at their team now. Why wouldn't they just bring up all these guys? Well, baseball doesn't work that way. But Corbin Burns struck out 16 guys like a week ago. Freddie Peralta's been really good for the Brewers in AAA. Cody Moderos is a second round, or he's a first round pick, but he's in double A. He's been good. There are other guys. Thomas Jenkins is another name that's been sort of working his way through the ranks. And Adrian Hauser, I mean, he was a top prospect. He's getting himself back together. I'm not sure how he's doing, but that's just to name a few. And I'm sure the Orioles would have interest. I mean, the Brewers do have a swath of outfield talent that they could probably include in a package. And it would probably not be an issue for the Brewers to deal outfielders, and knowing that it's a very crowded space at this point. So yes, there is a Machado deal that could come together. It's just a matter of, will Baltimore be realistic about a package? And they're going to be like, hey, we'll give you all these guys, but we expect this host of returns. I mean, if they were to say, we'll go Machado and Adam Jones, a dynamite center fielder, and basically then you'd have three center fielders out there. I mean, then you have to say, okay, well, that's interesting, and say Arcia, Domingo Santana, Freddie Peralta, maybe another prospect bat. Would you do a deal like that? I mean, that is quite intriguing, to say the least. I don't know if the Brewers need outfield talent, but you you add Adam Jones to an already loaded offense, that would be quite amazing, plus Machado. I mean, the lineup with Machado is downright sexual. Listen to this. Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, Manny Machado, Travis Shaw, Ryan Braun, Eric Thames, Jonathan Villar, and Manny Pena. That is awesome. That is so sexual. You just sort of get excited at the thought of something like that. But yes, the Brewers have trade pieces. The question is, how are they going to use them? And I know the Brewers are going to make a big deal. I am convinced of that. I think as long as they hang around, they are going to end up making a big deal. The question is, for whom and what is it going to be? Is it Michael Fulmer, who's been pitching okay for Detroit? Is it Chris Archer, who's struggled, but he looked good in his last start? Is it, you know, who's the name? I mean, it's going to be somebody. The question is what kind of deal is going to come out of it? And I do think the Brewers should do what they did with CeCe Sabathia and make the deal earlier the better, especially if you know that you're going to be right there at the end. Because the major risk with a guy like Machado versus a guy like Archer, who has, I think, 3 or 4 years left to control, is if you end up missing the playoffs and win 87 games, which is what your run differential, I believe, says, it might be 85, you completely fucked yourself. I mean, you absolutely are fucked. You deal with the just sort of the brash from the public, which doesn't really matter to a guy like David Stearns, but still, it definitely paints a different light on what the Brewers are trying to do. And they went all in to only hit on a 16 when they got a 20, and then they get a 23, for those familiar with blackjack. So we'll see what happens to the Brewer trade market. I think it's going to be a huge topic in the next probably 2 months, 3 months. That's going to be a big topic when we do talk about the Brewers. So the Bucks coaching search is underway. Edador Messina was interviewed on Saturday over the weekend. He is a innovative coach. He was a longtime European coach, head coach, who has been under Greg Popovich's staff. the Greg Popovich staff feels like a theme, as Adrian Wojnarowski reported. Steve Clifford interviewed yesterday. He is the former Hornets coach. We've said on this podcast that we're okay with Clifford. Clifford has a good track record of defense. He had subpar talent around him. I think I could talk myself into Steve Clifford, although he is a little bit of a retread, and I get the idea. They also are interviewing Mike Budenholzer, who everyone loves, Monty Williams, Becky Hammon, James Borrego, and David Blatt. What I find interesting, a couple things. I think the Bucks are, they're casting a wide net, which I think is a good thing. And I also think some of these interviews are to ask about other candidates. So you could ask Blatt about Messina, as Blatt and Messina both coached in the International League. You could ask Becky Hammon, Borrego, and Messina about Budenholzer, or vice versa, ask about Messina. Monty Williams, too, who also worked for the Spurs. So you could ask, and maybe that it's Clifford's the only sort of outlier. It seems like I think the Bucks want to go with a Spurs coach. The question is who? The question is, can they convince a guy like Mike Budenholzer, who also is a former Spurs assistant, can he bring somebody on staff? Can you convince Messina? Could you convince Borrego to jump ship? And the one thing that's unknown, I think Bart Winkler, actually, of 105.7 The Fan, brought this up. Like, are we sure Greg Popovich is going to coach next season? Like, that hasn't really been talked about. Pop, if they decide that Kawhi is going to go separate ways, and the tragic death of his wife, if he's just going to decide to right off in the sunset, what makes a guy like Messina, Becky Hammon, Borrego have the chance that they may just stay and they may work under a different regime? So we'll see. But that, I think those are interesting names. I don't think there's anyone that I'm shocked by. I really don't want David Blatt. I think that is the one guy I've kind of decided that I'm out on, just because of his demeanor and his attitude, that he's just sort of this asshole who really has Jason Kidd vibes to him. He's like an actual professional Jason Kidd, and I don't think the Bucks need that at this time. I think they need a players coach who can instill some discipline, but is not going to be stubborn and not going to listen to the brass. I think Blatt would do all of that. I think he does have a chip on his shoulder, which I respect, but who knows how big that chip is and if he'd let that chip get in the way of doing good things. So that's the only one right now that I'm out on. I guess Monty Williams too, but I do see guys like Nate McMillan and who's the other guy, Elvin Gentry, who we mentioned yesterday on the podcast, get second chances to be all right. I realize that's contradicting of what I said about Monty on Saturday, but I do think Tom Zeller wrote a great piece on SB Nation about that we just basically don't know shit about who's going to fit and who's going to make sense for an NBA coach. So check that out if you have not. All right, wrapping up the podcast with something that I think we have to pump the brakes on, both locally, nationally, is suddenly Jair Alexander equals Tyrell Buckley. And I remember as a young lad that I grew up that T-Buck was one of the biggest busts in the NFL draft history, that he was a guy who ran his mouth, who talked a lot of shit, and he couldn't back it up. He got burned on a regular basis. If you remember some of those infamous Cowboy games where he was just getting absolutely torched throughout, and it just was a shit show. It was a shit show for the Packers, and it didn't work out. And they, since then, didn't really draft undersized cornerbacks. But yes, the Packers made a draft pick in Tyrell Buckley, who I didn't realize was the fourth overall pick. That was crazy. If you look at that draft, it's a pretty gross draft. They definitely could have drafted Troy Vincent from Wisconsin, who had a decent career. It took him a while to get to where he ascended with the Philadelphia Eagles. He got drafted by the Dolphins. But Troy Vincent would maybe have been a better choice for the Packers at the time. But Tyrell Buckley was a stud in college. I mean, played along Deion Sanders. He had sort of the same trash-talking game as Deion Sanders, and yet he didn't play like Deion Sanders, and not even close. And Buckley was a major disappointment. So people have immediately pegged Jair Alexander as the next Tyrell Buckley, and I just don't get it. Like, Jair Alexander is a different player. B, he got drafted with the 18th pick, so you shouldn't necessarily hold him to the same standard as Buckley, who was a top five pick. And back in the day when you had to actually pay these guys major money and you didn't have a cap, that's a huge error. So Alexander should not be compared to Buckley at all. And Buckley defended him. He was actually his college coach, which adds an element. So it's like, oh, he learned from T-Buck. He's going to immediately be bad. And Packer fans just get these weird visions in their head, and they think that this is how it works. And it doesn't. It's not the case. Like, this is not you're putting a square peg in a round hole. Jair Alexander is his own player. He should not be compared to anyone of former Packer ilk. Comparing a guy who was in the early 90s, they play an entirely different brand of fucking football now. Entirely different. Stuff that Terrell Buckley did in 92 and 93 would not be allowed in 2018. Jair Alexander is a stud. He should be treated like one. I think he's a good teammate. I think he's a fun-loving guy. I'm really excited for Jair Alexander. So I really hate that this narrative by Mike Florio and others have sort of sparked up. It's not worthy and it's not necessary, and I think we just need to nip it in the bud sooner rather than later. All right, so that was a little Packer hot take for you, but we'll ride out. Stonetap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Don't forget about Stonetap WI. It is a website, and subscribe on all of the channels. We greatly do appreciate whatever you do listen to the podcast on. We'll be back tomorrow to chat. Who knows? Maybe a little NBA playoffs. Since the Cavs did wrap it up, we could have some series wrap up tonight as the Rockets and Warriors try to take care of business. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.